Welcome back, everybody. Tell me, do you want me to take? We're up to Daf Chav Tesem and Aleph 29a, and we are on the top of Daf Chav Tesem and Aleph. So we were just in the middle of a discussion. The Mishnah said that if we use a beged as a wick, that it is going to be no good. It's also going to be an issue for Tumah, but we didn't say why it's going to be no good to be used as a wick. And there was Machlokas, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Akiva as to why this would be. So we had the first pshat that it was talking about a Friday that was also Yontif, and it was talking about an assumption that we all hold of Muktzah, and it was talking about a beged that was 3x3 at Spos. So a whole first answer, but now we're going to get into the second answer of the Gemara as to why are we not allowed to light the Shabbos candles. We already explained the Machlokas about the Tumah, why they argue about whether this beged, which is 3x3 in terms of Tumah, whether it would retain its status as a beged or not, depending on whether we hold that folding changes its status or not. But we still need to figure out why would it be no good to light the Shabbos candles with. So Rava Amar, Rava explains. And Rava says, Hi, new time, it's Rabbi Elazar. This is the reason that Rabbi Elazar says no good. Because one is not allowed to light the Shabbos candles with a wick that was not singed. And not with rags that have not been singed, because they're not going to light properly. And we already explained that you can't light with things that are not going to light properly. They're just going to go out, you're going to come to fix it, or you're just going to walk away from the candles. So that's the issue over here, says the Gemara. Elahad the Tani Rav Yosef, but what about this brisa that Rav Yosef says, Shloshal Shalosh Mitzum Tzelos L'may Hochzah? We had this whole brisa that said that this whole Mishnah, in terms of the cloth being 3x3 etzpo, 3x3 finger breadths, plays a major role in our Mishnah. But according to this, it has nothing to do with anything. So why do we even bring this up if it has nothing to do with our Mishnah? So answer the Gemara, L'inyan Tumah. No, the reason why we brought up this minimum shear requirement for a beged of 3x3 etzpos was for the Tumah element. It's not because we learned in the Mishnah. Shalosh Shalosh Amru. So this 3x3 measurement, which we said in their Mishnah about the susceptibility of Tumah in terms of this cloth, in terms of this beged chutz min hamilal. This is talking about for a cloth that's 3x3 without the hem, meaning you need to have 3x3 etzbos, plus you need the amount that you'd be able to sew a hem on all sides. Divrei Rabbi Shimon, that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Chacham say shol shasholos mechuvanos. So now even just 3x3, even including the hem, that would be all right. You don't need a separate thing. So that's the machlokas that it was really going on, not necessarily our machlokas in terms of lighting the Shabbos candles in with a beged. But now the Gemara goes on to a bit of a side point, which is about Muktzah. So we said that the whole first pshat was assuming, like Rav Yehuda, that we do hold of Muktzah, we do hold of Nolad. Nolad is like the creating of a thing on Shabbos. That seems to be the problem. The Gemara goes with the running assumption that there's Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, about whether Muktzah exists on Shabbos and Yontif. Rabbi Shimon would hold no, but not actually no. He just holds there's less Muktzah cases than Rabbi Yehuda would. So Gemara is now going to bring a few different cases to express this machlokas about muktzah. So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Masikin bekelim, ein masikin b'shivrei kelim. So, what we saw before. So, Rav says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that you are allowed to light Shabbos candles or Yom Tov candles with a whole utensil, but you're not allowed to use shivrei kelim. You're not allowed to use parts of the kli that broke on Yontif, because that would be considered nolad. That's something that just came into existence on Yontif. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's going to be a problem according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon says you would even be allowed to light the Yontif candles with the shivrei kelim. Masikin b'tmarim. The second case is that someone is allowed to light a fire on Yontif with dates. Achlan ein masikin bagari nehen. But if someone ate the dates on Yontif, then they are not allowed to light the fire with their pits on Yontif, because that is nolad. That is now a new thing, a new entity that came to existence on Yom Tov. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon says it's okay. Masikin be'egozim. One is allowed to light a fire on Yontif with nuts. Achlam, but if someone ate the nuts, in masikin b'kliposam, then you're not allowed to use their shells on Yontif. That's going to be a problem. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Matir, again, all these machloksim about nolad and muktzah, how far it exists. So it's interesting to note, normally we would hold like Rabbi Shimon, but here the Shulchan Aruch quotes all these by Hilchos Yontif, like Rabbi Yehuda. So we're going to have to understand this. So now says the Gemara Utsricha, and we need all of these cases that Rav taught in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, all of these cases to show that nolad does exist. Why? Because if we just had the first case of the kalim and the shivrei kalim of the broken kalim, so you would have said bahi kamar Rav Yehuda, only over there does Rav Yehuda hold that you can't burn with that because it's going to be nolad. Why? Because it's a totally different entity. But first it was a kli, a full kli, now it's a broken kli, so no way. Vahavalei nolad v'aser. That's going to be nolad and a problem. Aval tamarim, but when it comes to date pits, dimei ikara garin, mahashta garin, it was always the same pit. It's just a matter of whether it was only a pit and date or just a pit. Ema shapir dami, maybe that would be okay. V'yashmin and garin, and if we only taught about the case of the date pits, havamini, you would have said dimei ikara mechasim. Maybe only over there Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's going to be a problem of nolad, because first they were covered by the dates, and then you uncovered it by eating it, so that's going to be nolad. Of klipe egosim, but the nutshells, the shells of the nuts, which we said is going to be a problem also according to Rabbi Yehuda of nolad, where you were, they were always uncovered, so you were always able to see them. Maybe those would be okay. Tzricha, so that's why we have all of these cases that you need now. Practically, lahalacha, if we say that these things are going to be usher, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not allowed to touch any of these leftover things that are now created. So let's say you have a chicken bone on your table on Shabbos, or you have nutshells on Shabbos. How are you ever allowed to clean your table on Shabbos? So this is the heter known as graf shel rei. This basically means if there's something disgusting in your house, you are allowed to move it, and there was no gzera of muktzah meitz. Therefore, let's say someone changes a diaper. So you have a diaper, you're allowed to get rid of that. You don't have to just leave it there all day because of graf shel rei. This is actually one of the reasons that's brought down in terms of why we're allowed to bring out our garbage. One reason is because there's also non-garbage in the garbage. But the other one is graf shel rei. If there's something disgusting in the middle of your living room and you want that space, you're allowed to move it on Yom Tov or Shabbos, because that was never part of the initial gzera. Important to know. Now says the Gemara of Ahad de Rav, and that which Rav said about the pits remaining from the dates, that they would be nolad according to Rav Yehuda lav v'feirush. Shitmar el mikol edmar. He did not say this explicitly, but we can learn this out based on a different incident involving Rav. The Rav achal tamri v'shara kashaisa levuchia, because during the week one day, Rav was eating dates, and he threw the pits into an oven for fuel. Amar le Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya said to him, Bar Pachti, kenegdo b'yom tov aser. You know that this would be aser on Yom Tov to do because of nolad. So this is how we know that Rav might hold that Rav Yehuda would assume that this would be a problem of nolad on Yom Tov. But now the Gemara says, kibbo minei o lo kibbo minei. So this is a story about Rav was doing something and Rabbi Chiya told him this would have been a problem on Yom Tov. But do we know that Rav actually accepted that this would be a problem on Yom Tov? So how do we know that Rav really does hold like Rav Yehuda in all these situations, that this would be nolad if you had the date pit and you threw it into fire, that it would be a problem? So answers the Gemara, Tashma, come on to your proof. Techi asa Rav le Bavel, because Rav came to Bavel and this was a case on Yom Tov. Achal tamre, he ate dates on Yom Tov. And he threw the pits to the animals. Now, is this not talking about cases of Persian dates where you get all the flesh, all the juice, I guess, all the other stuff off the date except for the pit, and still he was feeding it to the animals? So this seems to prove that he disagrees with Rav Yehuda, that he is using this. This should have been a classic nolad issue, because you had a whole date, now all you have is a pit, he fed it to the animals, you shouldn't be allowed to do that. So this seems to be going against its answers. The Gemara lo ba'ar mayasa. So no, we're not talking about that type of date, we're talking about an Aramean date, which is basically there's still some fruit left to the pit, so that's why it's not going to be fully nolad, and that's why he was able to do it. Since they're still fit for some human consumption, so there's still fruit on the pit, so that's why it's not going to be a nolad case. Now the Gemara asks the question about Rav Yehuda's ruling in general, that this would be nolad. Amar le Rav Shmuel bar Chana le Rav Yosef. Rav Yehuda damar, according to Rav Yehuda, said masikim bekelim vein masikim b'shivrei kelim. So the first case was that you're allowed to light yontif candles with full kelim but not broken kelim. Kevan to adlik beporta havale shivrei kelim. Once you light a little bit of the kli, then the rest of it becomes shivrei kelim. Now it becomes broken. V'chi kamahape b'yisur kamahapech. And now when you're stoking the coals, that's be'isur. You're not allowed to touch that because that should be muktza. This should be an issue. Interesting, be'isur kamahapech, from this lashon the Rashba learns out that mahapech is not a lashon of hana. It means you're allowed to get hana from mukta on Yontif and Shabbos. It's only you're not allowed to move it. You're not allowed to be involved with it. But regardless of this Rashba, the question still stands. How can Rav Yehuda have this case and say that regular kelim would be okay to light with on Yontif, but the broken kelim would not be okay? Once you start lighting it, it becomes broken kelim. So answer the Gemara, David k'Rav Masna. So no, really what you would do is like Rav Masna in terms of stoking the coals, to Amar Rav Masna Amarav, because Rav Masna said the name of Rav, Eitim Shinashram and Adekal Tanar B'Yomtov. Let's say you have a case where there's an oven right under a tree, and then some of the branches fell from that tree into the oven on Yontif. So this should be a problem of Mukta. So no, Mar Be'Eitim Muchan. So what you could do is you can add other wood to them that you had prepared that's not muksa, and then it would be like a bitl barov situation, Rashi says, and then you can go and burn them. So we'll the same thing would happen here. You start burning the good stuff, you start burning the kli, and then you can add other stuff to make it that it won't be a problem of shivrei kelim on Yontif, and this is how you would light. This is Daf Chaf Tes Amin Aleph, and everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.